You're listening to People Helping People, a live radio show on Daisy 1170 AM. Join us each and every week as we explore the many ways of making a difference, just by doing what you can. Know a friend who's in need of a service? Have a family member who's come upon hard times? Hopefully we can all help. It's about people helping people. Tuesdays at noon on Daisy 1170 AM. If you can help, or you know someone who needs help, call us now on the studio line 408-912-5565 to participate. That's 408-912-5565. You can also send an email to peoplehelping@klok1170am.com. If you prefer to leave a message, call 408-458-9478. That's 408-458-9478. All information is strictly confidential.
Welcome to People Helping People on Daisy 1170 AM radio that listens to you. My name is Greg. I'm here with my co-host Larry.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
You're looking much better today, by the way. Much better today.
Really?
Glad that you're back in full swing today.
My eyes look like I drank a gallon of vodka.
But you were hurting the last few weeks, my friend, and it's good to have you back. Of course, behind the board running the operation is Franco. Hello, Franco. My friend.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon, guys.
Buddy? Your presence is always appreciated, my friend.
Hey, it's all good.
Thanks for being here. So anyone who's tuned into the show before, you know every week it's a journey in and of itself. Mm-hmm. We like to give the community an opportunity, a platform, if you will, to talk about all the different great things that are happening within the area. Most cases, these are nonprofits or small businesses that are doing great things for the rest of the community. And a lot of times they don't have the platform to get the word out, to spread the word to the people who need these services or really are desperate for some kind of help. And it's a people helping people show. It's an opportunity to help one another. I think we've really touched upon a ton of subjects.
We have.
Over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And today will be no different. Very excited for what we got going today, Larry.
Yeah, me too.
Last week's show, if I'm not mistaken, was last week when we had Merle on?
Yeah.
It was last week, right?
Yeah, he sung to us.
I wanted to mention that Sankara Eye Foundation had their big show this past Friday night, and it was a major success.
Like always.
I'd like to believe we had something to do with putting it over the top.
Yeah, I think so.
But who knows? Either way, it was a huge success for the SEF, Sankara Eye Foundation, and the concert was sold out. There wasn't an empty seat in the house. I know we had a ton of our own friends and family and listeners that were at the show. We appreciate your support.
Yeah, as always.
I know they do. Mm-hmm. And we also encourage anyone listening, good opportunity to put it out there. If you have a service you're providing, especially those dealing with public service or nonprofits, community events and such, we're eager to hear from you, and we're glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, but you know what?
What's that?
We also need to hear from those that are suffering.
That is true.
We're shy on that side.
Yeah, and I think, funny enough, when we first started the show,
that's how we...
It was mostly fueled by callers who were getting to us to say, where do I go for my special needs child? Or what do we do in this case with my pet who, you know? And a lot of that has kind of taken a back seat. Mm. And for the past year or so, it's been mostly people getting their message to the listeners, not so much the listeners coming to us. And we obviously want both.
And maybe that's why they haven't called us, because they found help.
That's true.
Before they did.
But we encourage anyone who's listening to call and inform us as to what you're doing. Today's story is funny because, speaking of back when we first started, Larry, we had a couple of people that were calling about getting transportation to and from treatments.
Yeah.
And one of the callers back then had mentioned Drivers for Survivors. And at the time, it rung a bell. We even jotted it down and we did some research. And then somehow the road brought us back around. And 2 weeks ago, we get a message from Nate, actually, who has fielded the call and said, hey, I don't know if you've ever spoken to Sherry, but Sherry is the founder of Drivers for Survivors. I was like, I remember that name. He put us in touch. Sure enough, they happen to have this ball, this, I guess, banquet going on, a gala, excuse me, this Saturday night. It all kind of tied together, and we're super stoked to have the very special guest on the show, Sherry, the founder and CEO of Drivers for Survivors. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Welcome, Sherry.
What an amazing greeting. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
How it came back around is unbeknownst to me because I'm not exactly sure how you said something about serendipity a bit earlier.
Somehow or another,
it all kind of merged together, and here we are. I'm so excited to hear the full story, but can you tell us a little bit about how this journey began for you?
Sure, absolutely. Well, when it started, I basically woke up one morning and my breast was swollen, lumpy, and bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally overnight.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't have a good feeling, went in. A long story short, it was diagnosed as something called inflammatory breast cancer. It is the rarest and most aggressive of breast cancers, statistically very scary. And I went through a full year of treatment. And when I came out of it, saw a lot of things that were difficult to see and things that were beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and felt very compelled to do something to make a mark and make a difference in this situation.
You said earlier, and I'm sorry if I cut you off, Larry.
No.
You said earlier that you almost felt that this gave you a bit of a bigger purpose. You had a lot going on before this all happened.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
I absolutely did, and that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, it did give me a very big purpose, a lot of clarity, and a lot of making self revelations and decisions on how I wanted to live out the rest of my life. I mean, I looked at time differently. I saw it as very precious. I still do. Mm-hmm. I want to make every day matter, and really just feel at the end of all of this, at the end of my life, I want to look back and say I gave it my all with everything I have, all the passion inside of me. And mm-hmm. this is the area that I have chosen because I was sucker punched, you know. So I want to make sure to make a difference with this. And now there's other people that are on board and leading just as strongly as I am.
I think you have a lot of company that way.
Yeah, we have awesome. We have a super strong board. We have the community is getting, I've had a little following and it's growing in terms of, hey, let's help this organization. Let's you know, and knowing the story. But my story is just one of many at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many other stories. And even at the Black and White Ball, we're going to be sharing our clients' stories. So things are transitioning now. And we get to showcase more people's, make them aware and showcase what they're going through so that they can get the help that they need and so that people understand that there are people out there struggling. And even families, it may not just be a person. A family might be struggling trying to keep up that load, right? And we can be a safety network for them too. So it's a needed organization, and it's exciting because we're looking to do even more with it over time.
One of my great idols in life, I'm a huge Beatles fanatic, right? And I remember reading as a kid a quote from John Lennon that has stuck with me, and I seem to hear it come up often in different ways, but the line was, real life happens while you're busy making plans, right?
Yes.
You were working for a Fortune 500 company.
I was.
Seemingly on top of the world, I'm sure.
Well, I had, at the time, though, when I got ill, I was on a liaison, but yes.
Okay, so you were doing these amazing things in your career.
Yes.
All of a sudden, you're blindsided. You wake up one day, and all of a sudden, things have changed, and they're changed forever.
3 days before a new job, because I'd taken a break to take care of my daughter. Mm-hmm. At the time, she was 7 when I was diagnosed. So I was to get a job 3 days later, and it was a good job.
Right.
But then I had to call him back and say, listen, I'm not going to be able to start. And, you know, took my little mini wardrobe that I bought, took it all back to the store, kept a few things.
Yeah, of course you have to.
Right?
You deserved it.
And the lady, you know, I've never got to thank her properly. The woman said to me, I love when people lead with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, when this is done and over with, come back here. You've still, the job will be open for you. I can't find this woman that said this to me because, you know, after I went on a different path. I decided to do this, and for no other reason outside of, because, you know, in the beginning of all this, I was just kind of doing this all on my own. There was no, you know, subsidy. I was just doing it, right? It didn't matter. I didn't think about that. It didn't, that kind of stuff just didn't enter my mind. It was all about, let's make this happen. And
well,
then the serendipity kicked in too.
Yeah, that's where this sort of leads us now. Drivers for Survivors essentially must have been born of what your own situation was presenting you with, correct?
You're absolutely right. My daughter did a drawing. It gave a place for my daughter to put all her emotion too. She did this drawing, and then this logo artist, her name is Betty Simmons, she ended up doing this logo based off of a drawing of my daughter. Mm-hmm. I just tweaked it ever so slightly. It was the first logo person I saw. First person fell in love with it immediately. Like, you know what you know. She talked to me for like an hour and a half, and I loved it. I had a board member, Barbara O'Leary. She was also my driver when I was sick, and she helped me from my home when I started this organization and giving me rides and stuff. And Barbara's husband actually came up with the name from Drivers for Survivors over the phone, and I yelled in her ear. I'm like, I love it! You know, I practically killed her eardrum. But I, and it, again, first heard it, knew it, loved
it.
But that keeps happening with this organization.
Yeah.
Everything just keeps happening on mm-hmm. its own. I don't believe that things magically appear on your lap. I mm-hmm. don't believe in that. I believe in hard work and dedication. I believe in trusting people that are smarter than you. I don't know everything. I've got amazing mentors. I have a couple people, actually 10 total, but two people I rely on a lot that have a lot of experience. And for anybody who's going to do their own nonprofit or do anything in life for mm-hmm. that matter, they need to have a few people they can go to, and you kind of parlay what you need to ask to certain people. And then, you know, I'm kind of hands-on, mm-hmm. but at the same time, once I really trust and get a certain kind of working relationship with people, I start to delegate more and more and more. And that's what's happening, is I get these solid citizens come in, and they have passions too. They have stories. Even the people that volunteer, you know, they have things they share with me, because, you know, honestly, cancer's epidemic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
It's epidemic.
I would actually say pandemic.
Pandemic. You know what? You're right. And people don't say that because they're worried about probably the domino effect. And you know, I don't want to, I don't, it's like these certain commercials that operate off of fear. I don't believe in doing that.
Right.
But at the same time, the reality of the situation is that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And, there's a lot of different organizations, beautiful organizations that are dealing with cancer. And the more the merrier, in my opinion. You know, it's not a competition. Let's all jump on board and help each other.
We're all affected by
it. And I have a couple of nonprofits that we work with each other, and we mentor each other, you know. So it's about joining hands, making things happen, and, putting egos aside, putting political views aside, putting personal opinions aside, and separating all of that and just focusing on the mission, which may I read our mission?
Yes, sure. Please.
Okay. So drivers, we tweaked it a little just recently. We voted on it for clarity very slightly. But Drivers for Survivors provides free transportation service and supportive companionship for ambulatory cancer patients that live in Fremont, Newark, and Union City, from suspicious findings through treatments. And we have a wonderful marketing person. I'm sorry, I have to give her a plug, because
Please.
She does things without pro bono. We're her nonprofit of choice. Her name is Trisha McDermott, mm-hmm. and she's Avatar Pub Tech, and she basically comes in and does all of our stuff, and she's amazing. Anyhow, she caught a tweak that we needed to do on that mission statement, but that's what we do. We give everybody that needs help, we give them free rides with companionship. That's the thing. We don't just drop and roll.
Right.
We go in. We sit with them. We make sure they're comfortable, because, see, I personally could have used the service. This is all kind of,
that's what I would
figure. It's built off of my own little, I had anxiety, you know, when I got sick, it ramped. You know, usually I don't have too bad, but when it ramped up, and
that's crippling. We know
it
that.
Is exactly. It's crippling. And plus, the other thing, it's embarrassing to say I can't get a ride to my appointment, or to have to ask somebody. And I will even go so far as to say almost even humiliating. That's how I felt, okay? So to be able to have your dignity, and to be able to call an organization this is what they do. And, you know, friendships end up happening because the driver and the patient almost always make a connection.
Right. Well, those car rides, people talk. That's one thing about car rides that are great. You have an opportunity in the car, one-on-one, or even more than one.
Yeah.
It's a connection, right?
A heartfelt connection. Because I remember talking about not just the weather. You're getting into sometimes spiritual conversations, you know, and of course the drivers are being careful, you know, being, you don't want to, you're not a psychologist, you know, they're trained on how to, you know, handle certain situations. But overall, these friendships happen, and some of these we've gotten. You should see the stack of thank you letters. I keep them all. I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet, but they're a pile high, and I'm not joking.
I'm sure you've had quite a few.
They're a pile high, and it feels so good to know that there's all these angels. These drivers are the real heroes in the story. I mean, they're taking their time, you know, even if they just give one ride, and that's hard for people to believe. I think everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh, really? That's all you need is I can do it whenever I want. I can just pick what I want and do it when I want. And I can go my merry way and be gone for 3 months and maybe come back. And yeah, if that's how you need to do it because you're a busy person, absolutely. You got some people who have more time to give. Great, mm-hmm. We'll take it. You know, everybody has their different little niches. And Drivers for Survivors, what we do is we work with you.
Right.
You know?
Well,
you work with their schedule. So do you have a lot of people that want to come up and volunteer to do this?
We have a steady flow, but I will say we need more because of the flexibility.
How do you do that?
That's the thing. So in order to be this modern organization, a little edgy in the sense of how we're allowing this, having this flexibility.
Sherry's very modern, by the way, and edgy. That's how I know you're successful, because you have that entrepreneurial approach, which I love.
Thank
and I can tell that's why you're successful, but continue.
Thank you. Well, yeah. So, the thing about it is the word everybody is overused. What do you hear? First thing, I'm so busy. Oh, I'll do this when I retire. Or because they think there is no reason to even wait, because honestly, you can give one ride now, see how it feels, and then when you retire, see if it's a good fit. Anybody that actually gives the ride, they're bought and sold hooker, line, and
line and sinker.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's okay.
You know, so, it's really a good experience. There's a gift. It's a gift that always, and it's not cliche. It really does happen. The driver thinks they're giving, and the driver comes back, and they realize they're getting the gift too. And it's hard to explain that without taking up too much time, but just trust me on that.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. I think I was going to make the point that every one of us, I don't care who you are in some way directly or indirectly are affected by cancer. Let's face it.
Yep.
It is everywhere.
It is.
At some point in your life, somebody you know is going to be dealing with it.
Even your dogs and birds and
yes,
animals.
It's exactly.
It's even increasing. If you ask a veterinarian, they're going to tell you cancer is on the rise for pets too. And it's not to be an alarmist. It's to, you know, the thing about it is, let's say a positive thing. The medical treatments are better.
Right.
You know, lives are being extended.
That's true.
I don't know. I think I have already lived through a couple of my lives now, you know, and that's the good thing here.
Yeah.
But now going back to the issue at hand, this means that, you know, no one organization facility can carry this load.
Mm-hmm.
And if more nonprofits or more people came up with just little ways where people, volunteers, community members could help carry that load, imagine. And that's what this organization is operating off of. We're operating off of the premise of people out of the kindness of their soul stepping forward. It's the right thing to do. It's not... And they don't have to put a lot of time into it unless they want to. Because then you might get burned out. You don't want to burn people
out.
You want them to stay.
We've said this weekly, how after the show, no matter what the subject is, we always say, it feels good. You think like, well, I'm not doing much, this is something. It feels like we're doing something to help others, but there's always more. There's always more to be done. And what I think happens is people ignore these realities, if you will, blissfully until it affects them. And then they feel, okay, my father or my husband or my son or my daughter has had this. Now I feel I need to invest time of my own into this. And I think, unfortunately, that happens too often, where we wait for somebody in our life to be affected until we start taking initiative. This is a way to take initiative, feel great about what you're doing, helping out somebody who needs it desperately. But like, this is, I saw something in front of me, taking the burden off family and friends, because this is a huge burden that you're forced to deal with.
Well, sometimes, you know, you get these families and they just cluster in, and which is fine. You know, I love the fact that they circle and rally around each other, right? But you might have a husband busting his hump to try to like keep the insurance, or the wife trying to keep the insurance going. You've got these family members doing these incredible things to keep their families healthy. And the reality of it is they might be taking a hit because they're working so hard to try to cover the rides. If they, you know, use an organization like us, then they have a backup. If nothing else, they've got a backup. They've got a little bit of a reprieve. They can take a breath and take care of themselves, you know?
In a lot of these cases, go ahead, Lar.
No.
I was saying, in a lot of these cases, do the actual the patients that are being transported, are they incapable of driving themselves due to treatments?
Most of the time, but sometimes not. It might just be anxiety. In my case, I wasn't allowed to drive under my chemo, right? And I heard a story about somebody who got in an accident when they were in chemo. It was about a year ago, but things happen. You know, you're not always – and then some people can drive just fine. It just really depends on your treatment. But, you know, as you get more senior, and when you have multiple things going on in your body – I will say this, there are a lot of varieties of reasons why people would use an organization like ours. There was one woman who actually, this woman happened to be financially secure. She was a Spitfire, and she just wanted her independence. She actually didn't want to go to her family. She had her reasons. It's none of my business.
Right.
It's like, okay, if this is what you need, but I will say one of the focuses and a passion, part of the passion, I have kind of a few of them, but it's to help people who are underserved, because I really feel like there are people that don't necessarily know we're here. And that really kind of bothers me, because and the reason why is there was a guy, he actually died in a hotel room. I know, I could choke up thinking about it to this day. And it was like a Motel 6 situation. And that shouldn't happen, you know. And when I moved here, I didn't know a lot of people, honestly. So I wasn't really that well networked, to be honest, when I started the organization, prior to that rather. And then I just kind of inserted myself. But back then, and I'm not the only one, because when you think about it, California is a very transient place.
Yeah,
you know,
is.
People come from everywhere.
That's true.
But people don't want to admit the certain things. They don't want to say them out loud. Everybody wants to be cool and wants to be able to say, oh, you know, I got a million friends. Well, the reality of it is, that's not true.
Yeah.
There are people out there that don't have it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Wonderful people who just might be shy or might be more, you know. But I will say, I need to point out, it's ambulatory patients in our case. Because once you get into needing, you've got a wheelchair and that kind of acts, you need to, there are other kinds of resources out there that are available.
Right, because you don't have the necessary equipment
specifically
for that. Right.
No, we're growing, but we're not. And honestly, there's different organizations that carry different things. And there is support out there for that, though.
So I have a question about your particular cancer.
Yeah.
Is it more on the rise right now, and do they have reasons why it might be that way?
So I'm very careful about this conversation with inflammatory breast cancer, because I never want to speak as a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
We understand that.
People can go online and look it up in a reputable site and look up inflammatory breast cancer. Oftentimes, though, you can have redness of the breast. In my case, like I said, the lumpiness.
IBC is what
it's called, inflammatory breast cancer. And that was really something that, when I was being so severe about protecting myself, I didn't eat sugar. This is my choice. Okay, I'm not saying to do this. This is me. I didn't really want to go on the school grounds a lot, you know, when I had my daughter. So I would wait out front, and they actually made an agreement with me. They brought my daughter out to me. But I was being very careful, because I love my family, I love my daughter, and I did not want to have something secondary occur. So inflammatory breast cancer, it is the rarest, but there's a pocket of people who feel that there might be more of it, and they're just not, it didn't get labeled correctly. But my personal goal is just to make sure women know that inflammatory breast cancer is there, and to check it out. They need to know. You know, it might be one of the rarest, but it's one of the things you should know. And just educate yourself, so that if you have, and just because you have a little rash on your breast doesn't mean you have inflammatory breast cancer, okay?
Yeah. But be safe and just know.
Right, exactly.
Did you go in for regular checkups?
I did. And 6 months prior, my film was clear, and they found a tumor below it, underneath a cyst. So I had two things going on. I had to do something called neoadjuvant. So I had to have the chemo first to reduce the tumor, and then they went and do the surgery. Every day that I'm here, I thank God. I just thank God.
It's almost as if there was a greater purpose, which is what I wanted to get to. Because I do believe sometimes there are certain people that are confronted with these things, and there's a reason, you know, somehow you were chosen. I'm not the most religious person in the world. Please don't mistake this. I'm a spiritual person, not a very religious person per se, but I do believe things happen for a reason, and people are put in a position sometimes because they need to be a leader in some sort of way.
Definitely, I
feel like that
well.
Could be the case.
I could, you know, this could be a whole radio show, where I'm not going to turn it into. But I will say that I fully, 100% agree. I do feel many things about that. And when I did ABC or with one of my first news pieces in the very beginning, actually, I was talking about inflammatory breast cancer. You could see it in my eyes. Like I was, it's not about being, I don't know how to verbalize this. I knew this, what you're saying. I felt it. I knew that, you know, driver, and I tell people this all the time. People that are listening that know me will say, oh, she says this all the time, but right. I knew this was going to become bigger. I felt it. I don't know how else to explain it. I'm no psychic. I just felt it, and I had complete faith in this process. Mm-hmm. So it was following the bouncing ball. My leadership style is actually fun. I'm straightforward, transparent. I'm just your average person. You know, basically, I operate where I really I try to accentuate other people's
clearly you're not average,
but you know, no, but I understand where I'm not putting from. Myself I'm no I'm you know, there are people smarter than me about different things. You know, it's about knowing who to go to, knowing how to fit people, letting people do what they want to do and not forcing them into a role. It's about giving them a lot of the positive feedback and giving them some air, you know, some spotlight, and letting mm-hmm. them people know. And it's about being a family and sharing this kind of thing. I do have, you know, because I founded it, obviously it's my baby, but at the same time, it's become everybody's baby too. It really is starting to be like that.
Yeah, we all have a purpose, and I think you found yours.
I love my job. I love what I do. I love the people that get engaged, and I like getting people engaged. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that people in the beginning, they didn't know who the hell this woman was. They're like, who is this lady that's just showing up everywhere? I mean, really, they did. And now I think it's clear, I hope, I wish, I pray. I think it's clear to most folks what the intent is, and it's to help people. So
there's 100 things I could ask, and we're going to ask a lot more. We have plenty of time. One thing I think we should really clarify for the listeners who are hearing this thinking, well, I need this. Mm-hmm. What's the process? Now, let's just put ourselves in a situation like your own. Mm-hmm. What would someone do?
Okay.
Immediately after finding out the diagnosis.
First of all, you need to do your research. So I would go to the website, go to www.driversforsurvivors.org. It's the four is spelled out, F-O-R. So okay. Drivers, plural, F-O-R, survivors, plural.org. Check it out. You know, see what we're about. You know, that's always the best thing to do. You want to do your research. Second thing is I would call our program. If you live in Fremont, Newark, or Union City, otherwise we're not in your areas yet, unfortunately, but we're working on that. Yeah. That's the goal. But if you live in Fremont, Newark, or Union City, you can call our program coordinator. She is awesome. Her name is Daisy.
And I thought Daisy, by the way. I was like, my phone has Siri. Yours has Daisy, because she started reading into it. Daisy, I need you to do this. I'm like, do you have a different operating system?
You know what? Daisy's my right-hand person. She's going to be a doctor, actually. She wants to be a pediatrician. I don't want to thwart her from her goals, but I want to steal her. I'd be a business partner with this woman.
Yeah.
I mean, this woman is on top of it. And my last program coordinator who moved on because she got pregnant, I felt pretty strongly about her, too. I was ready to move forward with her as well. So I've been very fortunate.
Yeah.
Daisy's phone number is 510-896-8056. Really competent. She'll get to you usually pretty quickly. If she can't, there's a good reason. And she'll send an application out. You fill out the application. And then, you know, a few days later, once we get everything set, we start putting you on our distribution list. We just became, we just got a web-based application for our information for our drivers and our clients and medical providers. So now we're going modern with that too. We're still backloading some of our old rides because it's very new. We just got it April 1st. Mm-hmm. But pretty soon if anybody's listening on the air, they get to hear this first. You drivers are going to be able to do more on your own to set your own schedules with the patients. But we're waiting till after the gala.
Breaking news.
Yes. Yeah.
And you heard it first.
I love it.
Yeah. 11:07.
You did.
We broke it here on this show.
So you call. That's what you do. You call. You will set you up. And the same thing if you want to be a driver. You know, but in that case, as long as you live in an area that you think you can get to this Tri-City easily and give rides. And, you know, not all the rides. We go 60 miles in any direction. So we take you out. That takes you to Stanford. That can take you to UCSF. There's a lot of different medical providers that go 60 miles out, so it really gives you almost everybody. But if you prefer to stay local and you just want to go down the street and you're like in Fremont and you don't want to go over the bridge and you're just like, hey, I just want to stay in my own little nest, That can happen.
Okay.
If you're like a warrior, I'm going to do these trucks to city and I'm cool with it, I'm down with it, we can do that. You know, and then we always put the interest, like what is the client interested in? What is the driver interested in? And now that we have this application, we can even more further enhance our matchmaking.
So that way they almost have a friend.
So it's like it's like matchmaker, but without the love.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that you care so much about the relationships that are coming from this.
Most important, priceless.
It gives you the life experience and makes you feel like you're getting something from something that could be perceived as so negative and so bad. I think you've proven that.
Thank you.
We've all I've brought it up on this show for years. For about 10 years, I worked with a company in New Jersey called Ocean of Love, and they deal with childhood cancer. So it's all kids.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is. And we used to do a radiothon every year for many years, 10 years. And I would always do this. So it's you sleep on site, essentially, and we'd have somebody up on a billboard, and they wouldn't be able to come down until we raised a certain amount of money. And you meet these kids, and it's just, of course, when you see a child going through anything like that, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you talk to a lot of the families, and what they would say, every one of them, it almost sounded as if they were all repeating the same thing as, you know, my life was great, nothing was wrong, and all of a sudden my life was turned upside down and it's never been the same.
Crippling, if that happened with my daughter.
Exactly.
That crippling.
And I think as humans, we're empathetic, of course, and we want to feel and we want to help. Sometimes it just comes back to, where do I have the time? You almost, in your case, Sherry, you're forced to deal with it. So it's not as if you have a choice, whereas other people might have a choice to do that. So I would like to walk, if you can, the average person who might not be dealing with these hardships in their own life, but how they may be able to help as a driver. What do they do now? I know there's the number they can call, correct?
Right. So we have all kinds of drivers. Again, you can call Daisy 510-896-8056. If you want to talk about fundraising or anything outside of being a client and a driver, you call me. And that's 510-579-0535. That's our main number.
Okay.
If you have a specific and you're in the area, if you're outside of the area, again, you call me. If it's something that you know you're in the area, you know you fit the bill, you can call Daisy, not a problem. But by calling and being a driver, what we can do is the same process. You get an application, you fill it out, we do a background check on you. You need 5 years driving experience. That way we don't have to age you in and out.
Right.
Just blanket 5 years. If you have 5 years, good driving record, then we can add you on. Mm. And then there's a little orientation, okay, just to make sure that you understand, make sure all the ducks are in a row. Mm-hmm. And once we get through that process, which is also, everything's simple. Hey, you know what? Simple is, well, it's not my middle name.
It's
but
better.
Simple is, why complicate things?
Exactly.
I've protected that with this organization. Yeah. I make sure that we stay undiluted, strictly on the mission statement.
Yeah, you don't have to be complicated to make it work.
That's proof positive, Larry, that you are here.
I know, I'm simple-minded.
Very simple.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
And now I've known several people with varying types of cancer.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And it can be very alienating.
Yes.
They find themselves almost feeling hopeless.
Yep.
Even when you have friends and loved ones around you. I felt that way with asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of hard to explain what you're going through unless they've walked in your shoes.
Yeah.
How do you treat something like that, or what do we do in a case like that? Because it seems to be very common. They don't talk about it.
You know, okay, so I have three tiers that I care about: inflammatory breast cancer, the organization, and care and compassion. And you're hitting on my care and compassion, mm-hmm. Second tier. Well, actually, I don't really have, they're all important to me.
Equal tiers.
Yeah, I used to talk a lot about this, but they were such big ideas that I put them on hold. But okay, I have 1,000 things going through my head right now. When it comes to feeling isolated, and I remember when I was sick, I would just get out of my house and walk around. There was a park, the Shin House Park. I'd walk around that park, and you need to get a little bit out of, life does need to go on, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really important to at least try to find your comfort zone. But everybody's different, so that's a tough one. I think that the fact that there's places like HERS Breast Cancer that has the hair, they have the wigs and they have different things that they're offering mm-hmm. cancer patients. I actually go there myself for the things that I need. Mm-hmm. That's really helped a lot. It helps locally. We've got this. It's at Washington Hospital, and there's one. They have one in Stanford, and they have one in a third location now too. But this is the type of nonprofits that help give people that dignity and help people be able to immerse themselves in the regular world.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that having people come to them and offer them food, for example, like I couldn't eat anything processed. You know, the things that I used to be able to eat, I couldn't. I had a friend who actually cooked for me every Friday, and she'd load me up with food, and she'd stand over me, and she's a beautiful Romanian woman, and she just made me all this food, and fish, and all kinds of
things.
That's
considered paleo, right? Like all, like, no preservatives, no...
Okay. Yeah, that's a portion of it anyway.
I'm glad you... Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But I basically... she took me under her wing. That's a wonderful thing to do for a friend, or, you know, to be there for them and ask them what they want, ask them what they need. I don't know if I'm touching on the road you were going down with the question, but there are now more resources available. We went, one of my vice chair, Dave Capisi, we went down to Stanford and had a conversation, and they have a wonderful program there too. So a lot of these hospitals, you got Washington Hospital, Stanford, and you've got all these people. For matter of fact, where is my, I got to do this.
Yeah, take that.
So I'm going to do this because, well, shameless plug, a lot of these sponsors that helped us for our gala are the main ones we give rides to, like our top 10.
I was going to bring this up as my next question.
Sure you were. Oh, sorry. Sure you were. Right here. We know.
Sorry.
You can't read your own writing.
Sorry. So we've given rides to 76 different medical providers now.
Wow.
Okay, and this
that's
is in the we'll hit 4 years. We haven't even hit 4 years yet. It's in December. This is the thing. And
you guys
and,
are a baby and, organization.
And we're comparatively speaking, we are, and it is it and it's hard work. I mean, we're only a 400 square foot office. We're not like, you know. For matter of fact, that's the next stage of the game. Even our headquarters office in Fremont, we need to get bigger, man. You should see it. It is nonprofit all the way.
I love that.
But I'm going to say this. So we've got Kaiser, Renshaw Foundation, a wonderful family. We've got Summerhill Housing, Dale Hardware, Sutter Health, Meanwell, DaVita, Washington Hospital Healthcare. We had Fremont Chevrolet step in. We've got Michael Bastosh, Durham and Logan, Tony Dutra, Fremont Bank, Fremont Elks Club, GroCo, Republic Services, Vandana Sharma, who's also a board member becoming a honorary, Tammy Souza, Lois Vega, Ron Ybarra, San Francisco CFO. We've got Sandra Young, and we've got more, we have more people stepping in that are helping our organization. And, you know, who just stepped up and we couldn't even believe it was, we have BMW of Fremont,
which is crazy,
stepped up as our title sponsor and just blew us absolutely out of the water. And
that's,
I'm trying
so
to
cool.
find, we have an update on the people who added themselves, and I hope I didn't forget anybody, but I have the actual, darn it, I have the actual invitation, but I don't have the updated one in front of me. So I hope I caught everybody. And if I didn't,
I'm sure they'll understand.
Super sorry. But we really had the strongest support we've ever had. And what's really cool is having these people, and did I say Genentech? Genentech too. We're having these people step up that we've given this service to and really give us some love. And, you know, as a, I'm going to put my founder hat on again for a minute.
Please.
As a person who started this with nothing, no connections, no network, nothing. To be able to look at this almost, well, now for me, it's been around for 4 years, but I've been doing this 5.5 years. To look at this unfold is, and I know people are sick of hearing me say this, but it touches my heart. It makes me want to cry.
Why would anybody say this is legitimate?
Yeah,
no,
because there's some people that hear me gush a lot.
Oh,
I'm a sap. That's what I mean. It's almost to the point of nauseam because people are like, okay, all right.
You've earned it.
They don't know if it's real or not, but I'm telling you, it is real. And to be able to have like people come in and see the value and help the cancer patients and know that these people don't have to take the buses, they don't have to take cabs, they don't have to like sit in that waiting room twiddling their thumbs, you know, being nervous looking at magazines. They got someone to talk to who even can go in the room with them and take notes.
What is the, can you tell us a little bit about the gala you mentioned? That's this weekend. I know you miraculously some spots opened up because I knew that was pretty much.
Yeah, we have only a few.
Yeah.
And yeah, that did miraculously happen. We got some kind-hearted people that come in and they're, you know, they just want to donate. You know, we're always looking for people to support, whether it's, you know, I'm going to put it out there financially, it's always helpful. I mean, we are a service, we don't have a product. So that puts us in a limited arena.
Right.
Right. So we rely heavily on our donations, our grants, this kind of thing. Giselle Chiapetta, she's our person who used to be my program coordinator. She just got married. She, bless her heart, she's doing all these grants for us, and she's like our superstar, man. She's just making all this stuff happen. And every grant that comes in, it just, we do a little celebration in our office, a little happy dance, because
that's awesome.
We really want that next office. And we're on a shoestring in there, and that's, we're very transparent. And some people actually joined our organization as volunteers because they like that about us.
I was going to say that that exact thing that you just said. You built this on a shoestring.
Yep.
And I was looking at your statement at the end. I mean, we kind of like call them mission statements. It says, "I can't change the world, but I can change my world, one person at a time."
You know what? I wanted a quote, and that resonated with me. It's something that it's me.
It's very true.
It does.
Because
sound
he
like
and I
you.
Talk about this all mm-hmm. the time, Anne Franco, because people are really intimidated by the fact that they think that they have to do it all by themselves.
Exactly.
And if because of that, it's paralyzing. They don't even do anything because they think they're not going to make a dent.
Okay, you know how many times I've heard that? Oh my gosh, even when I was in treatment, outside and in treatment, I just didn't know what to do. That is a very common thing, but that's why I could do a whole show on this, because that in itself, there are so many things you can do that are simple.
Sure, absolutely.
Like my daughter was in a club, and taking her to and from the club, and bringing her in the fold and being a person who steps in and just kind of helps cart my daughter around. There was one woman, Isabel Gus, she helped me with that. She was mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. So these different people that stepped up and just kind of help you to continue your life, and especially when there's children involved, so that they can continue that normal functioning. Because, what they're going through, my daughter is my everything, and she's an artist and very sensitive, and mm-hmm. she's a very smart kid. So when she went through it, and I used to blog about this, and I remember telling her, and her face got all pink, and she goes, "Oh, does this mean you get to wear wigs?" And she actually got excited. So she was being very positive about it. But what happens over time when the kids, they process this later, and that they realize, okay, this is what happened, this is what's going on, and it's a hard road for kids, especially at certain ages, and to be able to keep them healthy-minded and help that parent to do that is a gift in itself. I had one woman I used to knit, modern knitting, of course.
Knitting.
Yeah, Uggs and faux suede, beautiful little Lafayette sets for kids. And my friend would take me to the knitting store and, just help you keep your life when not a lot of people were there, and just mm-hmm. help you resume your life as normal. That is in itself a big gift. Or just going at their house, sitting and watching TV, playing cards, taking walks with them.
It's therapeutic.
Anything.
I want to, anyone who's listening right now, if you have questions, we're talking to Sherry Higgs, who's the founding CEO and executive director of Drivers for Survivors. If you're just tuning in, we welcome your calls. We have a few minutes now towards the end of the show, we have about 10 to 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you're willing and you want to call in with some questions, feel free, 408-912-5565, 408-912-5565. I obviously want to open the phones up for that purpose. Mm-hmm. But one of the questions I had, because I see that you treat this as a startup, which in this area I'm sure will resonate with a lot of people, because this is an area where a lot of collaboration happens, and you treat this as a startup because of the way I see your energy and how you're making it a team. But how did you end up asking for help? Where did that start? As the emotions are overcoming your brain and you have all these things happening, did you just say, I need help, or I want to help others, or where did it come from?
Honestly, no one's ever asked me that question that way. I broke down and had a meltdown is the right word to say it. I remember when I got diagnosed, going into the underground garage at Palo Alto Medical Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And it's dark, a little dark, not too dark, but and I remember sitting in there when I heard that if I untreated, I only had 6 months to live. Oof. And I remember having an absolute meltdown in the car. And I knew that this had impacted me. And then I went home, and it's like, I just looked around me, and I'm going to get upset talking about this, but I just looked around me and I said, I'm not ready. I didn't do what I want to do in life.
Yeah.
I didn't, I'm a loving person. I haven't given my all. This isn't my time. So rather than giving up, I took that fear and decided that I wanted to be the full 110% person that I am, my true me. And so I didn't let anything, I went through the treatment, I went through everything positive, but I didn't let anybody or anything block me from making these goals, and I really knew that that this was important. And honestly, people would say, "What a great idea!" But see, I didn't look at it that way at the time, you guys. I didn't say, "Oh, I have this idea." It was more along the lines of, "I saw a need." You understand? There's mm-hmm. a difference.
I do.
And so it was just about talking to people. So I went and had about 400 sit downs in 2011 after I got out of treatment to substantiate what I felt. And everybody was encouraging. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they said they wanted to be a driver. And I kept a list of everybody that said they wanted to be a driver. And I circled back around, man. Good. And then people heard that this woman was talking. And then they invited me to presentations. And I did a bunch of Rotaries and Kiwanis and Lions Club and churches. And they just kept calling me. Do we come here? Come here? Come here? And then in between, I was doing press. A lot of press. I love the press. I mean, mm-hmm. media is obviously, and I'm transparent. So hey, bring it on.
Right.
So I did a lot, and a part of that mission was inflammatory breast cancer, because at that time that was really the driving force for the media in the beginning. Was I wanted people to know, because I was mad. I'm like, how do I not know about this? And I wanted women and men. I believe it hit some men too. I wanted people to know. So the answer to your question is, I just needed to do it for my soul.
That's usually where things happen, and that's always seems to be the best, because you're driven by your own it's your own motivation. It makes you feel like you're accomplishing something.
Absolutely.
Out of the darkness. Go ahead. What were you
going to
say?
Well, I just found the paper that had the additional sponsors.
Please, yes.
And I have to mention, I have to do this. I want to.
Yes.
So Sisters of the Holy Family was another one that stepped up. Stanford Healthcare was another one that stepped up. Rebecca Gomez, she's a board member. She stepped up. Music Plus Event stepped up. NetCore Design System stepped up. Listen to this list. Fremont Elk Lodge, if I didn't say it already. Tony Dutra, Dutra Enterprises. I may say some of these twice, and if so, I'm sorry. You're probably loving it, but I'm sorry. Council member Suzanne Sue Chan, and Derman Logan EA, Lois K Vega CPA. I said that already. Dryco Construction Inc. And I think that's it. So that's everybody. And I want to say on the air, I thank you guys. I love you guys for like giving to this organization. On behalf of everyone at DFS, we thank you. And you know, BMW of Fremont, you rock.
Yeah, and we love you too.
You know, they're actually, do you know what they're doing? BMW is going to allow volunteers to drive patients in some of their cars to our event.
Get out of here.
No,
like
they're
loaner car type
loaner
things?
Car, like a wow. 5 series, 7 series.
Amazing.
I mean, they're on fire. We're going to have a booth there, I would say on the date if I had it with me, darn it.
For Saturday?
I'm going to text Daisy.
The 7th,
no, then. Not Saturday. I'm going to get the date from Daisy right
okay.
now.
Yeah, well, Daisy's
and then
Daisy's
at the end
right hand man.
At the end of all this, I'll have that date.
That's her own Siri.
Yeah,
I was like, I want to get Daisy for my phone, thinking I'd be able to say, Daisy, can you send me everything I need to do over the next week? And
it's Daisy Tantriotti. I just said your whole name.
So she's a nice Italian girl.
Yeah,
there are many of
I
us
hope
out
we're
here.
Right.
She's not Italian.
Oh, I knew.
I was going to say, there
you
are many of us.
You messed up and you're Italian.
I know.
No, but it does sound it.
Yeah, it does.
You know, Larry, something I remember reading a book about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it was somebody who came from the organization I mentioned earlier, Ocean of Love, and one of the things she mentioned when she found out her son's diagnosis at that time, she said the first thing she felt was before she went in and sat with the doctor was fear, of course, because you mm-hmm. don't know the fear of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
Then the next thing that happens is sadness. Then it turns to anger. Then the anger turns into something else. In her case, it was motivation.
Right.
And it was, I'm going to be a parent who's going to help all the children. And I'm going to do everything in my power. And she became almost like a czar. She ruled with an iron fist. And people in the Toms River, New Jersey, there was a big problem with the water in the area. And that's where a lot of the kids were getting cancer. Why the rate of cancer among children higher than anywhere in the world because of the water in Toms River. It's a huge, Aaron Brockovich, the movie,
was
based
on
this.
And didn't something like that just happen?
In Michigan, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. So we need more research
on this. She stepped up and fought mm-hmm. the local township, the government, the local officials, and they didn't like her very much because she brought to light a lot of bad things. But when you meet her, and you were one of the people who were lucky enough to work with her mm-hmm. and talk to her, you think this woman was unbelievable, mm-hmm. like yourself. You say, oh my God, thank God for people this.
Oh, I love
that.
But
the ones who she's going back at are fearful and afraid of her. But she mentioned that, how so many times where she would be putting on this front, because when you're in it, you're in the trenches, you don't think about the real deal of what's happening. You're almost not allowing it to penetrate. And then there'd be moments where she'd be sitting by herself and watching something, maybe a commercial, and all of a sudden she would start like hysterically crying because it all caught up. Mm-hmm. And it happened in a way where you weren't least, where you're least expecting, and your guard was down. Do you find that to be still with you, where you have moments of clarity away from what you're doing?
You know, I think I was ADHD when I was young, so I have all kinds of moments. My brain doesn't really shut down a lot, to be honest with you. But when I do shut down, I watch stupid TV sometimes, and just
brainless,
you know,
mindless TV.
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
But at the same time, I thrive on information, and yeah. I do.
Yeah, I figure.
I have moments of, so every now and again, it's not as bad as it used to be, but I'll have moments of a fear that is unexplainable. It's deep.
Yeah.
But I've learned mechanisms now, and there is hope for that. You know, when you get through cancer, again, I'm really straightforward and honest, and that is what occurred for me. But when you go through the treatments and you get out of it and you have that kind of maybe in you, you start getting this warrior skin.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why that word, I think, comes up so much. And then you figure out ways to kind of process the information, and I'm really not so scared anymore, because I don't want to leave this planet, but I feel now I have more peace of mind than I had then. I love life, though. I want to live till I'm 200, right? But at the same token, I'm not at a place that I was back then of just that dread and despair, and I'm not done yet feeling.
Right.
I found that date, by the way. Can I just say it really quick?
Please,
and then
yeah.
I don't have anything else on my mind. That
I doubt
okay.
that.
Well, you know, BMW of Fremont, it's called Drive for a Cause. It's on June 2nd, and we're going to have a booth there. I will personally be there, and it's going to be a really big deal.
You should go meet Sherry.
I love it. I love people.
Be inspired. Larry, you have any other questions?
Yeah, well, a couple, actually, but... first one is what helped you the most when you first found this out? Like, we all, you know, there's usually somebody or something or somewhere that helps us the most when we first are diagnosed with something
Good
like
question.
That.
I would say one. That. Well, there's a few things. One of the things that helped me the most was my friend Barbara O'Leary, who I've always paid extreme honor to. She's still engaged in the organization. She's done things. She started me, helped me in the house. Like I said, her husband thought of the name. She was a program coordinator for a while. She became a board member for a while. She was one of our top drivers. She cared. She pretty much had my back.
Okay.
And the people that the food for me is people. So when people do a kind thing, it feeds me.
Mm-hmm.
And when people do a not so nice thing, it can hurt me.
Sure.
You know, so it I'm tougher, you know.
Motivates you more.
But yeah, it does actually. Oh, yeah, it does. When people, naysayers, or if there's somebody who's trying to, that puts a fire under my fanny.
Yeah.
But overall, most people are innately good. Mm. And most of the time, I have nothing but positive stories to share. But when one of those other things happen, I look at it as a motivator.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, Barbara was definitely... one of the wings, and still is, the wings beneath my wing, wings beneath my, wind, wind beneath my wings.
Wind, yeah.
That
Midler's going to be very upset.
I used to be dyslexic. It's coming through. Yeah, no offense,
Beth. You're right. She's listening.
No
too,
offense.
By the way,
and then
probably.
My friend Jan Vincent and her husband, Richard, we did a bunch of stuff together. They kind of included me in the folds. They knew what I was doing. They believed me. They trusted in me. To this day, they're, you know, part of the biggest cheerleaders to me and the organization. So it's become this community thing, and other people are getting engaged, and these people that helped me build this from the beginning, in answer to your question, that was part of my medicine.
Okay.
And I'm going to jump in because we have about 2.5 minutes left, and I don't want to get cut off.
Then I might jump in after you again.
What I would like to say is, anyone who's listening to the show, and I'm sure you've been touched, if you just tuned in, it's Sherry Higgs, Drivers for Survivors, a great great organization that's helping patients, survivors, helping cancer patients. We really do encourage you to get in touch with them, maybe donate your time, funds, whatever it is you can do. I will tell you, we'll put all this information on our website, peoplehelpingpeopleradio.com. You could easily go to our website, dayc1170am.com, and you'll find out more. And Sherry, do you want to give them your information so they can get in touch with you directly? Or
sure. So you can call 510-579-0535. You can also send an email to info@driversforsurvivors.org. It will get to me. I welcome your questions. The whole idea is to help one another out in this world. I mean, that's what we're here for. And I am open for anything conversationally.
I'm pretty sure we'll have her back in the studio again.
I'm sure.
I think we should. I think there's a lot we didn't even touch upon.
I'd love that.
But this weekend, very important. It's called a black and white.
Yeah, gala, everybody's gone. Yeah, black and white ball. It's at Castlewood Country Club. It's May 7th. It's from 6 to 10. We're going to have Starstruck Theater there performing.
Cool.
Yeah. We have Newark Saxophone Quartets coming, and we did another gala back in 2014. That was already great. We had a great turnout. We're almost double this time in terms of the people that are coming. A lot of people do a lot in the last minute, though. It's not going to be cancer. Yeah. It's going to be a heart attack that's going to get me. It's going to be a heart attack.
Yeah.
But there are a few precious spaces available at this. So this weekend, if you want that, I would do that soon.
Yeah, it's a presence there, and there's going to be a ton of auction items. There's a ton of live auction stuff. So we've got a professional auctioneer, and it's just, we got everything. We got a photo booth that you can send your picture
straight
to.
People love the
Facebook.
Photo booths. Yeah.
I see you squirming.
Go ahead. No. What's your last thought?
Well, we like to have a thought, especially
35 seconds, so it would have to be a quick thought.
What can you leave the listeners with? Your thought.
What can I, stay positive. And, if it's not Drivers for Survivors, then find your niche with nonprofits. Help the world.
That's a common thread.
I can say that I know this show helped me. I think we've learned a lot from you, Sherry. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing.
I really
what you're doing.
Appreciate it. Thank
also,
you.
Also, because of the fact that.
What we are doing.
You look what you've turned this into. You've taken what they say, a lemon, and turned it into lemonade.
It's not an I anymore. It's a we.
That's right. So anyway, thanks so much for joining us. And if you want more info, don't forget, you can go to our site to get more. We'll see you next week on People Helping People Radio.
Right on.
Download the all-new Desi 1170 AM app. Visit the iPhone or Android app stores or visit Desi1170AM.com to grab it now and hear us everywhere.